HuntStand is the most popular and functional mobile hunting app on the market. With a variety of base maps to choose from, satellite imagery that is updated every month, the ability to check the weather, know property information, and even catalog your trail cam pics, HuntStand even gives you the ability to import pins and location markers from other mobile apps. Visit HuntStand.com or download wherever you download your apps. Enter discount code SN20 at checkout for 20% off.
Welcome to the Missouri Woods and Water Podcast with a full house.
Your hosts,
Nate, Micah, Andy.
Yep.
Got you Russell.
You were last this time, Andy.
Got Russell here.
Howdy.
Got Austin here.
Hey, guys.
Living the
For
good
people
life.
That don't know that are our buddies and returning guests.
Yep.
Russell's been on multiple times, Austin multiple times. They're back. We're going to talk about two specific topics tonight. We were going to do this whole big-ass show about...
We had so much shit going on.
We've had a lot going on. We've had elk hunting stuff going on. We've had bow fishing news going on.
Coyote hunting stuff.
And then the topics tonight, we're like, gosh, man, that'd be like a four-hour show. What if we
could
do them separately?
Yeah.
So today's show, Russ went dogging for some prairie dogs.
South Dakota.
A couple weeks ago. So we're going to talk about that.
I feel like this could still be a four-hour show.
Oh, it definitely could be.
I think we can just call this episode Doggin'.
Funny you should say that because I already thought of the episode title.
And oh, it's gonna of course you did.
Spring Coyotes and Prairie Doggin'. Because it has multiple meanings.
The double entendre.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
Yep. Just sit there and sip on your Busch Light. I see that you took the
the paper off. The label was gone when it came down here.
Was it?
No telling how old that beer is.
It's been in my fridge for a while.
It's months old. Yeah. Like several months.
Pre-wokeness.
Pre-woke.
Pre-rainbows.
Yeah.
So that's what we're going to talk about today. It'll go wherever it goes because there's a group of five friends here. So just be prepared for that. Let's do our sponsors real quick so we can get straight into the show. Let's start with Weber Outfitters because we have a badass giveaway currently going on with them. If you haven't heard about it, we got the ultimate bow hunting giveaway going on. You can win up. It's about a $1,200 package.
Yep.
You get a right-handed or left-handed, depending on what you are, bear bow.
Not discriminated.
Nope. You get a target, six arrows, broadheads, release.
Everything you
practice
need.
Practice tips.
Practice.
You get everything you need to
be hunting.
If you weren't bow hunting before, besides a deer stand, you're going to be ready to go hunting.
Yep. So it's a whole big giveaway. You can enter multiple ways. You can get on Weber Outfitters website, weberoutfitters.com. You can get into the show notes on this show, and there's a link that'll take you straight to it. Or if you want to go to our website and check out the cool stuff there, missouriwoodsandwater.com, go to our partners page under Weber Outfitters. The link is right there. And you just fill it out. There's multiple ways you can enter. You can enter, I guess, what's the word? Multiple times.
Multiples. Yeah, I think you can get up to like seven.
If you do all
seven
the prompts,
entries.
Yeah.
If you do
all the prompts, so you get seven entries.
And the giveaway is on August 12th, live at 5 o'clock.
At their trial.
I'm the most nervous about that part right there.
Why?
I've never went live on social media in my life.
Yeah, oh, it's easy. It's very difficult.
No, it's easy.
You
say it
a few times
easy.
A week,
mm-hmm.
But it's I easy. Will find a way to fuck it up. I promise you.
But you can't.
Oh, you want to bet?
No, you
can
you mess really,
up.
I will
be in
Michael
charge.
Take care of it.
Michael, take care of it. But the giveaway is going to be live August 12th, so you'll have like a month after then to get ready to go. So check them out, weberoutfitters.com. Micah, you can do the next one.
Athlon Optics.
You just went straight down. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know why you got to make it confusing. Athlon Optics. Ridiculously good optics. I believe everybody in here, except for one, runs.
You don't have
Athlon.
One yet, Russ?
Nope.
You don't have
we
an
We
got to
change that. No. Maybe
I'm
you need to try
fan.
The Kronos first out of all of us.
I'd be down with that.
See?
Yeah. Sharp, tight, and priced just right.
I'm actually going there next week to pick up another one.
What are you going with?
The exact same one as what I put on that Six Creed. It's a...
Aries?
No, no, it's a Helos, I think.
Yeah, he went to, you went, because I had the Helos on my other one.
That's right.
And then I swapped it out for the Aries, the second, my second Aries.
It's a Helos. Oh, I'm going to screw this up. I know it's a 6 by 24 by 56.
Yeah. Another freaking seed nose hairs.
Yeah, it's my friend.
I've been cheating. I'm still running that Argos.
36.
8 by 36. 8 by 32. Shot coyote the other day at 35 yards.
I can't talk too much about it because we haven't had the show. But we recorded with our guy from his name's Mark, and he's from out west. And one of the things he talks about is, you know, glass.
Yeah.
And how important it is. And he's like, I'm good with like a basic 2.5 by 15, 3 by 18.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's some buddies of mine that, you know, go up to 15. He's like, it's like looking at, you know, like a pinhole. And he's like, yeah, you can see a long ways. But he said, I just go the basic route. And it made me happy when he said that because it made me think of you and you. Which, well,
everyone's got their own thing.
Yeah.
So I've always been aim small, miss small. So if I can only see a little bit, I can't miss.
And then I think I've got a Midas tack that I'm getting ready to put on. I think that's what I got that I'm going to put on my Christensen. And I'm going to keep that gun and run it. But
Speaking of Athlon, they're going to be at the Weber Outfitters Try and Buy, I believe.
They are.
Yeah, I think they're going to have a boost.
August 12th.
Oh, and he's not going to be listening to this, but shout out to a fella. I probably should have had this ready, but a young man I met, his mom, dad, and him at my daughter's last softball tournament. And he competes in what's called NRL 22. He's going to Nationals.
Nice.
And guess who his sponsor is?
Athlon.
Athlon Optics. So, what's up to Zane Taylor and his parents out in?
What would you done if you would have said like Leopold? I'm like, what the?
Well, Nate, you're an idiot.
Yeah.
I actually emailed our guys at Athlon and told them, hey, I met this kid. He's a very respectful young man. I'm glad he's shooting Athlon. Take care of that boy.
Hell yeah.
So
awesome.
Good luck, man.
Yeah. Yep. Good luck to him. I think it's coming up soon.
On X. We've been on it.
I said
we were on
like
it. Well,
like yeah. I said, we've been on it.
No, we were. Me and Nathan, we were. You know, he came and picked up some targets today at work, and we got on there, started talking about deer hunting, and spent probably 20 minutes on X.
I can't tell you how much. I mean, how many times all of us use it. I mean, me and Austin use it every time we go
on the way here tonight.
Yeah. me and Pat were sitting down talking about our Colorado trip, about possible camping spots. And, you know, we've been to the same spot multiple times. So we're sitting here like, okay, we could go here, but look right here. That would go right to there. You go a little farther. You go, you know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's unlimited use. I imagine Russell, I mean.
Y'all
I use it every day.
Yeah, y'all have probably been on
it. You probably use it just like Micah does for work.
Yeah. Handier than hell, man.
Yeah. And they've got a lot of new features coming out. Some of them that I don't even know yet because.
I don't know how to use some of them.
I'm very basic right now, and I need to get educated on some of the new features. I just talked to our buddy Jared over there at OnX, and he's like, man, we got so much coming out. They just ended their Father's Day special, which was a 30%. You can still get, what is it, 20% with us, you know, using our code, which is MWW20, or go to our partners tab and stuff like that. But there's a lot of features that are really intricate that are really cool. What are you doing?
That's how you do line distance.
Are you shitting me?
You can touch two fingers to it?
Yeah.
I've been going into the toolbar and pulling it up.
No joke.
Oh, that's
give me
cool.
That. Give me that.
That's cool.
I was trying to do that earlier today, and I was like, how did I? Because I remember doing it one time.
Yards. So you can take.
Can you fine adjust those pins once they're there?
Once they're there, can you move a point?
Let me just. So you mean like this?
Yeah.
No.
Is there any way to? No, shit. It just did it. Yeah.
So you can take two fingers and space them
just
out.
Hold
like
it
so,
on there.
And touch the 2 points you want to know the distance on.
That's
badass. And it tells you what the distance. Yeah. That is super cool.
I was trying to do that earlier, but I forgot how I did it. And then I got to thinking. I was like, that's
so that makes it, if you're on the fly, you need a quick line distance.
That's right.
Uh-huh. That makes it instant.
Because the line distance tool is cool.
You're right. But you had to click.
But you got to click.
I thought you had to click and pick the tool, and apparently not.
See, I'm
not
just
nearly
like
as advanced at technology as I should be, because some of this stuff that we have at our fingertips is absolutely awesome.
Oh, it's amazing. And we'll get into – well, we'll just go ahead and get into it. But Reveal Tacticam, they updated their app. Dude, that crap is awesome. Like, I can go in – and I just got one camera out now, but each time a different buck shows up, I can make its own folder right there in the app.
Oh, that's awesome.
And so
you can sort your galleries.
I can sort my galleries within seconds. It's handier than hell.
Yeah, and that, the cool thing about Reveal cameras, and especially with this newest update, and there's another one coming, by the way, I guess, not too far future. But so, like, Russell doesn't have any Reveal cams currently. He's about to get his first one, but he doesn't have any currently. I can share all the cameras that, we hunt together.
Well, see, me and you got one shared.
Yeah, but you have a Reveal cam.
True.
He doesn't. So all he has to do is download the app, and it lets him see all the cams at our hunting property together.
Oh, wow.
See,
that's cool.
I need to let the landowner know, because he always likes looking, seeing what's back there, too. Yeah. So that's handy. That's good to know.
What are you doing? You want me to share the ones at your house?
Just waiting.
There ain't shit there, but I'll add you. I just need – what email are you using? Your normal one? The Gmail?
Yeah.
Okay.
The non-work one, so they can,
And see, that's the nice thing. Like, you don't have to – it's just all of a sudden, especially if you already have an account, it just shares them with you.
Yeah.
And then they're in your shared cameras.
Did not know that.
To me, the coolest thing is creating different folders.
As long as I don't have to sort out what's mine and yours.
Well,
no,
all you got
to
do is filter.
You can go to different ones. Yeah. Like, your cameras will always be the first ones that pop up, and then you can go – it goes to cameras, and it goes to shared, and then you can pick which one or whatever you want to look at. It's pretty handy.
So you can click
on his. My cameras are shared.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't have any cameras yet. So
damn.
Yeah.
That's pretty slick.
Yeah.
So it's pretty sweet. And then I love, like I said, the folders, because you guys know how intricate I get with different bucks and writing everything down about them. Well, I don't have to save all the pictures to my phone now. I can just keep them in there, and
they're
go
the
back
app,
and you can browse them later.
That's Sub-Zero the third.
Funny. I just named a buck.
Sired by Sub-Zero.
He named one today.
I just named a buck today.
Yeah, he named
a buck
today.
Because it has a bunch of trash.
And his mom was
Deborah the doe. Had a bunch of trash all over his bases. So there is a Mortal Kombat character who had really fucked up teeth and was like all crazy ass.
Baraka.
Yep. So that's that deer's name.
Will you just name one like Hank or Bob?
I could do that for you.
Just one. Yeah. Give me one dumb
Steve.
Name.
So yeah, check them out.
Hank's
Reveal cameras.
Bob's.
Yeah. Sorry,
pretty, pretty awesome. Black Ovis just ordered 2 dozen arrows from him using the custom arrow ID builder.
Mm-hmm. Jeez, bro. How many arrows you going to plan on losing?
Hey.
Hopefully none.
The laws of average improve. The more that's in the air, the more you have a chance at.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. But don't you already have like a dozen?
Yeah, but they're going to be different. They're different lengths.
Oh, okay.
Because mine are a tad longer. Are you seeing that deer?
I'm showing him Baraka.
That was today.
Good grief.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of trash around his bases, if you noticed.
Yeah.
But anyways.
If that's at my house, you ain't ever going to see him.
No, it ain't at your house. But the hell was I just saying?
Black Oaks.
Oh, custom arrow ID builder. Literally, it's never been easier to do custom arrows. Mm-hmm. I mean, the hardest part was measuring my damn arrows and making sure I was like exact with my length. I mean, I called two or three of you, but that was the hardest part, is deciding what length to go with, and boom, done. You can even do, what's it called? Rush delivery.
Yeah. You can get 2 to 3 day.
They will be out of their place in 1 to 2 days.
I did the standard and it was like,
it's still fast.
It's still fast. I mean, you get them within like a week, I think.
Damn.
I think it's like 3 to 5 is what they call, but I mean, I got them super quick.
Yeah.
So
excited about that. And then obviously they got all kinds of cool Black Ovis gear. Russell and I were looking at some puffy jackets the other day. Andy, you need to get some stuff done for us.
Yeah, I got to do some stuff.
But, you know, Black Ovis gear, and then obviously all kinds of other gear. I mean, it's just like a online version of a big box store. I mean, you can get a lot of stuff there. Mike and I are thinking about saddles this year, and they've got all kinds of saddle stuff.
I will have a saddle this year.
Definitely. I just can't decide what to do.
Yeah.
What to go with.
Don't know which one, but I'm going
to. Hey, listeners, tell us what to do. What do we go with? We go with Tethered? We go with Latitude?
We would like your opinion.
What do we go with? All these different brands, Trophy Line. Who's the best? Because we don't know. Check them out. And then Camo Fire, obviously the flash sale that Nate typically gets on doing his morning duties. Didn't do it this morning.
Didn't do it, huh? Mm-mm.
I didn't poop this morning.
Well, that's odd.
I was in a hurry.
Trail Cam Tuesday.
I'm so glad we have that info.
Yeah.
Thanks.
It's my morning poop.
Andy, did you say it's Trail Cam Tuesday? It is Wednesday.
When this episode comes out, it'll be Tuesday.
Oh, there you go. Look at him.
Yeah, but how do you know it's going to be Trail Cam Tuesday?
It's always Trail Cam Tuesday.
That was proven wrong one time.
One time.
You made that up a long time ago.
It. One
you
time.
Just felt like it was the truth for whatever reason.
I'll wager.
Yeah. Russell, how often do you get on Camo Fire? Just curious.
Not very often.
Anymore?
You're pretty well stocked up on everything.
I don't have any room for more stuff.
Getting bad.
I'm about to start selling stuff just to buy more stuff.
Right.
I get it. Idea. I get it. I get it.
Huntworth gear. I actually have been wearing my Huntworth gear to go do trail cams.
Yep.
Because my Huntworth gear is treated with permethrin for coyote hunting.
I need to do that.
And I just don't want to get ticks all over me. Mm-hmm. In fact, me and my son went out and hung a couple cameras. I think he pulled like 30-some ticks off of him.
Oh. Good grief.
We got home, and somehow I got one tick on my leg.
Wow.
That was it.
Wow.
So, I mean, I had a bunch of ticks on my hands that as we were sitting there, I was picking them off, but they hadn't went up the shirt yet because they didn't want to. Mm-hmm. So then I was just, you know, grabbing that. But so I've been wearing my Huntworth gear a lot lately, actually.
Dude, they've came out with some cool stuff. The green pants, like I was super jealous. Andy shows up with these green pants. I'm like, where did you get those? So
call me green jeans.
You know, yeah. You know what I hope they do someday. So you know how the solid colored bottoms,
mm-hmm.
solid colored tops.
Dude,
they go coyote tan, and I'm gonna be in the doghouse for a while because I'm gonna spend.
I'm kind like, of like I'm kind of digging solid colors.
They're growing on me.
Yeah,
I've been running for years, a few years.
I've just been hunting those. You know me. I'm terrible at the names and stuff, but they're lightweight pants, the solid color the lightweight pants, Durhams, and then they're honestly just their T-shirt, like their logo T-shirt on coyotes.
Yeah, I've been wearing same pants and your guys' logo T-shirt.
That's damn right. So. That's cotton though, isn't it?
Respect.
Yeah, it's thin. Whatever.
Good
it is.
Good on you. Good on you. We need to get better T-shirts next time. I didn't like those things very much.
You need to get some coyote tan.
That'd be cool. But check them out, huntworthgear.com, Alps Outdoors. Russell and I were just talking about seeing one-man tents the other day. Mm-hmm. And I've got one. I need to get mine.
You don't got one?
He doesn't. That was surprising as shit to me.
I got one.
The Lone Ranger don't have a single-person tent.
No kidding.
And then he was showing me one. That
I got one you can use.
I was like, wait a minute. If it's a two-man, can I just sleep next to you? Because I'm scared a little bit of the bears and shit out there.
I want my own.
You would be.
But
like I said, I got one.
Yeah, dude, you're snack size.
Yep.
I'm snack size. And the problem is, usually with bears, I don't have to be faster than everybody. I just have to be faster than the slowest person.
No, you just need a 22 pistol and everything's fine.
Yeah, I ain't going to be faster than
the one guy in the knee and then you get out.
He's going to outrun me, so I'm in trouble. Yeah. So they've got a little bit of everything, as everybody knows. They've got an awesome discount code with us. They're a terrific partner of ours, a Missouri-based company. Make sure you check them out. Because they're terrific. Zammerland Boots, we talk about them enough, man. I'm going to be using my Lynx out in Wyoming. You guys are going to be using...
I got that Lynx. I don't have the bow system.
You like them?
I've been wearing those coyote hunting. Those are super comfortable, good ankle support, lightweight.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got the Lynx boa, and I got the Beltor.
Have you wore those?
Yeah.
Like them?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like them.
My Lynx, I mean, literally it took... Because I remember the first night I wore them, we were night hunting. We were thermal hunting. And I was like, man, I don't know about this boa system, blah, blah, blah. It took about 2.5 times hunting, and then boom, I felt good. It just that break-in mm-hmm. period, I think, of what it was. So check them out, Zamberland USA. And finally, last but not least, Habitat Works. By the way, speedy recovery to our buddy Dustin.
What happened to him?
He tore his Achilles.
Oh, shit.
That just sounds painful.
I don't know if he wants everybody to know that, but. Dustin tore his Achilles. He was getting off of a ladder or something like that. And
I strained some tendons recently, and I wouldn't wish that type of stuff. Mine was nothing compared to what he did, obviously. No, but I wouldn't wish that on
him. That was rough for him. So I think he's been about 4 weeks post-op, but hoping.
Because you got to have surgery for that, don't you?
You got to reattach it.
Yeah.
Golly.
Terrible. The guy at work tore his patellar tendon.
I've heard of that.
Tendon in the front of your shin, and he was going down steps and fell. He showed, the doctor stopped and took a picture on his cell phone in the middle of the surgery. It looked like someone took a knife. Once he opened, folded open the skin, like a knife right below your kneecap and cut that tendon away. They took, looked like paracord, attached the tendon, drilled holes in his kneecap, pulled it up tight and tied it. That's how they reattach.
This is a story we could have done without. Thank you, Andy.
Dude, it was gross.
That sounds gross.
It was that's gross.
Terrible. I would watch that video, though. I'd be like,
that'd be a hard ass.
How long ago did you start that story just now? 20 seconds?
Yeah, not very long.
I share this camera.
I just
with you.
Got the shared cameras.
In that time frame.
Oh, cool.
That's how easy it is to do stuff like that.
Yep,
that app.
Pretty cool.
Not to go back to reveal. All right, those are the sponsors for the day.
Let's get into it.
Took us a little longer just because we're bullshitting.
We like to bullshit.
Well, when we start about, when we start prairie dogging?
Let's start
prairie dogging because I got all kinds of questions.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, Russell, you went to South Dakota.
What was the occasion? Like, why?
Business trip.
Okay, I like it.
Did you guys install a HVAC unit?
No, it was legitimate business trip.
So it was probably like a dealer or something like that? Or
yeah, one of our distributors was like, hey, you want to go? I'm like, sure.
Darn it, awesome. I guess.
Okay.
I'll go.
So this was a couple of weeks ago, right?
Yeah, it's been like 2 weeks.
So none of us in this room have ever went prairie dog hunting,
nope.
Including you.
Right. Yep.
So did you do like a bunch of research up front? Or like before we went, like or before you went, or what did no, you, how did you like prepare for it?
Make sure bought you have ammo. Something that shoots good.
Bought ammo.
Stocked up.
Yeah. Take 3 different guns. Make sure your ammo for those guns are shooting good and grab some fun.
Were they all hand loads?
No.
Oh, so
I bought factory rounds for.
For everything?
For the 223. 6.5 was hand loads. 308 was, I bought.
Which we might be getting a little ahead of ourselves, but the 308, you kind of said that you might have just left it at home.
Yeah, not a big. It was AR-10.
Okay.
I don't know. Just really haven't jived with that thing. So.
Just not shooting good for you?
It doesn't shoot good. It's got, I don't know, the recoil's not. It's not a good impulse recoil. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not comfortable to shoot. Mm. So I don't shoot it that well.
Even right. Suppressed, it still gives you.
Well, I don't shoot it suppressed because it was giving me some issues there.
Gas. And
so
stuff.
I've got.
Do you consider yourself a bolt guy?
I prefer a bolt, but I like an AR. In some
right.
Instances.
In that situation, you were shooting, I mean, pretty rapidly, so.
And I didn't know what to expect.
Yeah.
I wanted a bolt gun for precision.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just took the AR-10 because that's the only thing I had.
Bigger so, caliber.
Bigger so, caliber
so
with good
So two
glass.
AR platforms and one bolt platform, right?
No, 2 bolts and
so
one
which,
AR.
So the 223
was a bolt? 223
is bolt. Oh, okay.
You probably didn't know about it. But.
Russell, I guarantee you that you have a bunch of stuff in your safe that I don't know about.
There's a lot of things you have that I don't know about.
Yeah.
So.
You ever seen a $7,000 sex doll?
Whoa. Whoa, this got weird quick.
Well,
exist.
Guys, great show. We'll talk to you
exist.
Next time. And
this one just got unmonetized.
That was today. It was tomorrow.
I got it on discount. It was demo.
slightly used.
Oh, boy.
Wipe down with a Clorox wipe.
So which
one Clorox wipe?
Which one was shooting the best then?
Before my 6.5 Creedmoor, it shoots lights out.
Like, is that the one that I've shot before? The bolt, it's got the Night Force on it, and
right,
but, heavy son of a bitch.
But I put it in a chassis.
Oh, okay.
Before we went, so I
changed
swapped
the chassis on it.
The one that was on my 22-250, I put over on it.
Okay. Yeah, I know which one you're talking about.
And it, because I like that chassis, it shoots good, fits good,
yeah.
Checks all the boxes. And it shoots really, really good.
That was, that was a sweet shooting gun. Because I remember when you first built that thing, we had to put rounds down it because you had to build rounds for it. Mm-hmm. So we were just tinkering around there.
It shoots half-inch groups all day long.
Yeah.
As long as you don't get hot, but.
Which just sounds like you had a problem with that.
Not that gun. I was pretty cautious of that gun. That
well, you don't want to burn your barrel up.
That 223, I let her eat.
What was your 223? Like what is it?
It's a Ruger American.
Is it?
Put in a Bell & Carlson stock, one of their Target stocks.
Yeah.
Right on.
And then running a suppressor on it.
Was the 6.5 running suppressed too?
Yeah.
Okay. Yep.
The only one that wasn't suppressed was that AR-10.
AR-10, yeah.
And so, it's loud.
So you went up there, and I mean, it's I'm pretty far up there, but you've kind of mentioned before off the air and stuff like I've never been. So you drive out into these fields, or I mean, kind of
yeah,
explain,
what was it? What was
explain
the
process. I mean, you get up in the morning, like, do you have to hunt them early in the day? Is it all day long? Is it
so? We hired an outfitter, so all the lodging was taken care of, food was taken care of, so we had nothing to worry about really. Just
You tell us when it's time to go and we're ready.
Yeah. He was there at 5 o'clock every morning, whether we were up or not ready to go. He was
chilling,
had breakfast ready, whatever you wanted to
that
do.
It seems really early to go shoot prairie dogs.
Well, from
to get the big males
from his lodge, the first town was an hour, and the next one was an hour and a half, and then the next one was probably 40.
So in town,
prairie dog town,
you mean, right? Yeah. These freaking
dog town, yeah,
yeah, dog towns mm-hmm. where is it? Hundreds live, thousands live.
There's thousands,
thousands yeah. of them in each town.
The first town, it was 7 miles off the gravel road. We drove back in there to get to the town, and that town.
Wait a minute. It was 7 miles on a gravel.
7 miles off gravel. So that's dirt off roads. Road. Dirt off roads for 7 miles.
Two track, pretty much.
Yep.
Yeah.
You got let down cattle fences, put them back up, and you go through. Mm-hmm. And that town was probably, it was a mile wide by probably 3/4 mile
Good
deep.
Jesus Christ.
Just solid prairie dogs. So
holy cow.
Endless opportunities. You could either go sit right in front of them, or you could sit way back up on the ridge and pick them off if you wanted to. So
and they just pop up randomly.
Pop up randomly. Yep. They like it sunny. They like it. Cloud rolls over. They all go back in the hole.
Really?
Really? Huh.
I would have thought. So that's why I didn't know if you need to be early in the morning for cooler weather, if they're more active, or how that worked.
Earlier morning was probably better.
Was it?
Once it got, I don't know, 11 o'clock, it got hot.
Yeah.
I mean, it was probably 85 degrees up there.
Yeah.
Do they care that you're there?
Not necessarily.
Because, like, so this is weird, but you had just told me about the show.
Mm-hmm.
And then my son was watching Earth or whatever National Geographic show.
Planet, yeah.
And it was about Yellowstone, but I guess the bison like to go eat the grass around prairie dog towns because it's rich in nutrients, because probably all the shit and stuff, I'm mm-hmm. assuming. And you see these pictures of these bison, and the prairie dogs don't give a shit that a big-ass bison is, like, right next to it eating.
Mm-mm. Well,
are they that way with you, a human?
Well,
just bison's never pulled out nine and busted. Well, yeah.
The grass up there, they destroy the grass. Like, the grass is only maybe 3/4 inch tall. Mm-hmm. Like, they mow it down.
Well, that's how it was in this video, but it, apparently it's just really nutrient dense.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. I don't get it. But anyway, so did they give a shit? Like,
they really
how
don't.
Close? What was the furthest you guys were? And then, like, what was the closest?
So, I mean, we were pushed out to, you could shoot to 900 on that first one.
Jesus.
Easily.
How do you even, I think that's one really out there.
So, we could
you
shoot
to 900. You got a spotting scope up looking for them, or what are you doing?
You can see them through a scope. I mean, they stick out like a sore thumb. The really? big ones are more like of a whitish yellow. The smaller ones are more of a brown.
Huh.
And they pup twice a year, so there's little ones
good
on the ground.
Grief, just, they're everywhere.
Yeah. So the ones we were shooting were probably as big as that pop bottle.
Okay.
A 16-liter.
The small ones.
And damn. Then the big, there were some about this size too, but those are hard to hit.
size of a can. But
the big ones were pretty good size.
Like a 2-liter or bigger?
They
than
were
that?
Probably that tall.
Really?
Which is probably, I don't know what that is, 14
yeah.
inches tall.
22.
Wow!
You always got to say it's bigger than
yeah. yeah. But we had them as close as those. The other guys we were with, they were shooting unsuppressed ARs, another AR-10, 17 HMRs unsuppressed, and they were shooting them at like 10 yards. Like oh. They just pop up randomly and walking around.
So they really don't care that you're here.
No, they're dumb. I mean,
I figured you'd shoot 3 or 4 times, they'd just all be done.
Like, right, they really just wouldn't pop out anymore.
They'd wait down, but I think they get used to the noise.
Really?
You know, once you're shooting and
it's
going
like a
on.
Short memory.
Yeah.
It's once you start getting close to them, shooting at, you know, if you miss, obviously it's probably going to go away, but the ones that are really far out there, you can shoot at them 4 or 5 times.
They're just like, what's that?
And we went to a place, the second place we went, that place had not been hunted all year. And those dogs, literally, there would be 4 or 5 up on a hill, and it was just like plinking them off one at a time. The rest of them would just stand there and look at you like, ah, where'd he go?
And then you just, what's Steve doing over there?
I was going to ask you the question. At any point in time after you shot one, did another one start going, Helen, 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 Helen?
That's not a prairie dog, but okay.
Yeah. He only got two.
What was it?
That was like a groundhog.
Oh, it looked like a prairie dog to me.
He only got two Helens out.
I thought it was prairie dog.
Yeah, I didn't get enough time.
Once he dialed in the first one, the second one I was getting it.
How many? Yeah. You said you doubled up a few times, didn't you?
Yeah,
that's got to be fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
explain a double up.
One
it's
shot,
like a double tap,
two kill. Yeah, It's not cool. It's not hard to do in a target-rich environment.
So, and just to clarify, like with people that aren't familiar with prairie dogs, they're a nuisance. Like Russell was saying, they're tearing up the ground, tearing up the grass, kind of like wild hogs do, you know, down south.
Texas and stuff, yeah.
You know, the people want these things shot and killed. Like, this is not like a, I don't want to say a, just a, just for the hell of it type deal. I mean, yes, for Russell, he paid and to go do it as a sport, but they're a nuisance animal.
They want them gone.
And a lot of it, isn't there, don't the ranchers hate them because a cow can step in the hole and break its leg?
Yeah, cows, horses. Like
that, they're eating all the grass.
Yeah, that too. I didn't think about that. Yeah,
so, especially if it's like on their ranch. I mean, they're just ruining, not number one, the grass is there, and then they're just tearing the freaking ground up too.
Yep. So our outfitter, he paid a trespass fee basically. Mm-hmm. So he pays the landowner so much to go out there out per there. Day.
Yeah.
So landowner's getting paid, and he's getting – a prairie dog's taken off of there, which
win-win for them.
Yeah, win-win.
Which you were saying, like, I don't know if this, I have no idea legalities on this, but you were saying, especially like some of these ranchers, if it gets really bad, they'll poison them.
Oh yeah, they're poisoning them.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, just try to wipe out towns if they can.
Yeah.
Well, because what did you say that they carry? That was that one
bubonic plague.
Bubonic plague. They carry some sort of diseases.
It sounds bad. I don't know what that means, but
well, that was a thing like back in the day, like.
The one like with the, where the guys wearing those masks and shit?
Uh-huh. No, like back
in the...
Oh, God. 1600s? Yeah. Something like that?
Like wiped out half of Europe or some shit.
Yeah. Yeah. You remember the ring around the rosy, pockets full of posy? That's about the plague.
No shit.
Did you finish that?
Ashes.
We all fall down. That was about the plague. That's it. That is correct, yeah.
Because they would burn the bodies, and that was ashes, and ring around the rosy was like
fire.
You develop a like a red ring around to you here. Or something. I don't know.
Really?
Huh.
Fascinating.
It was explained to me in school. I vaguely paid attention. So
that one day. That was kind of
cool.
That
one day.
So, and it was so much like you, it was so much fun. It sounds like you had fun.
Oh, yeah.
But
how many days did you do it?
Two.
2 days?
2 days.
Okay.
It got like to one point that you were shooting so many dogs so quickly that you actually had a problem with one of your guns.
Yeah, tell us about the issues.
So... I mostly ran that 223 just because it was.
It's cheaper to
shoot. I got along with it really well.
Yeah. And
out.
Yeah.
And we were shooting, like the one area I had like 520 yards dialed in, like pull trigger and it's something's dying.
God, that's awesome.
So you just kind of draw a line in that dog town. Anything in this band, you put it right on it and it's dying.
Because you were using your windage adjustments and getting it kind of with your windage and then
get your wind down and then you can just walk it out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I say, it's not critical if you miss on the first one. There's one standing right next to it.
Well, it's like you're shooting C target. They just keep popping back up.
So, yeah, as long as it's sunny, they're out.
Huh. Wow.
And being suppressed helps quite a bit.
I'll bet so.
How many guys were with you?
Four shooters.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a lot of guns going off. Were you the only one suppressed?
Mm-hmm.
I bet you're pissed about that.
So you were the only sophisticated one in the bunch.
Right.
Yeah. A little Mr. High Class over here.
In fact, what was funny is Russell, when he would shoot, after his shot, his pinky would point up.
he'd reach up to rack the bolt like this.
Yeah.
Good day, sir.
Yeah. Well, so we got off of the question that was asked. What happened with your rifle?
Yeah.
So... I was trying to shoot 10 rounds, set it to the side, and let it cool. And I also had a barrel cooler, so we would throw that in there. But after a while...
This is a bolt gun.
It's a bolt gun. So after a while...
Explain a barrel cooler. I've never heard of one of those. So
how
does it work?
It's just a little fan that you open your bolt, stick it in, close your bolt till it stops, and then it's drawing in fresh air and pushing it out the barrel.
Okay.
It helps quite a bit.
So it's cooling from the inside out.
Yeah, it's... pushing it down.
It's like
down
an air muzzle. Conditioner in your barrel. You're sucking that fresh air. And
grabbing outside air and throwing it down the barrel.
It worked right on. Pretty damn good. Really? It's just obnoxiously loud. It's got like a high-pitched whine to it because that little motor's spinning ungodly fast in there. So I quit using it. So so once we got into a lot of dogs, just send 10 down and I would switch guns. Send 10 down, switch guns. And then I would get on that bolt gun, that 223, send 10, load a mag up. Fuck, they're out there again.
Send 10.
Boom, 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 boom. Start shooting. And then it got to a point where I was missing low. I'm like, what the hell is going on here? Give it another half mil, pull the trigger, boom, low. Another half mil, boom, low. The barrel was so hot that it was drooping. Every shot, it was going down.
It was physically drooping.
Yeah. So you couldn't keep it on target.
But like, when it cooled, did it come back?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. So, like, could you actually see the droop in the barrel?
I didn't look that hard, but, I mean, we're talking
minute.
Every shot was like 6 inches at 500.
Just, 6 inches.
I was just chasing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
At 100 yards, you're probably talking what? Like, not even an inch. Well, it'd be an inch, wouldn't it?
6 inch. Yeah. Six at 600. Yeah. Basic math, at least.
Yeah.
Roughly.
Yeah.
Whatever. But yeah.
So you were putting some rounds down.
She was hot.
How many rounds do you think you went through everything?
Everything? I think probably close to 500.
What was your kill? What is it? Was it
kill count?
Kill rate?
Your kill rate. What percentage were you?
Well, I know you killed somewhere around 300, right?
I killed somewhere around 300.
And if you shot 500 rounds, you had a
60-some percent
kill rate. Good.
Mm-hmm. Hitting a pop can
at times.
Pop can at 500 yards. Yeah.
With that 6.5, I wasn't shooting anything less than 600. So, and my farthest shot was...
You picked up that 6.5 and said, where's the farthest one at?
Yeah. The farthest shot was anywhere between 8... It was 825 and 850 because my rangefinder wasn't picking up the hills.
Oh,
that's, it had a hard
that's
time.
Crazy.
That's because back. You don't have an Athlon rangefinder. You see that? See what I did there, guys?
Yeah. One mile. That's what's crazy is, you remember that coyote tournament where we tried poking at them coyotes mm-hmm. just last second at, what was it,
so
900?
Far away, yeah.
900? I mean, that's how far are those?
And he's shooting prairie dogs.
Prairie dog is sitting, he's just like, dink.
Yeah.
Good. When you have the setup and
it was fun,
you know,
I think if we would have had another shot at him, I think we would have got him.
So did you shoot?
We were close.
Pick up some binoculars and wait for it to hit, or
no? It gets there pretty quick.
I'm teasing, but
your flight time is probably like a second. I would say
I don't know what it is, but
it's got to be cool to go pull the trigger and then just watch it
explode.
You know it. Yeah, because a 6.5, like what grain bullet were you running through that?
136.
Dear Lord.
Honestly, it was too light. I probably should have been in the 140 class.
I just pushed it out that distance.
Because I could have pushed it out farther than 800 or 900. It was just getting, I think that bullet was destabilizing not that far.
I would just like to see what that bullet did to the tiny ass prairie dog when it impacted.
You want to see what it did to both pieces or what?
Most generally, you never did find a prairie dog.
Were you using like ballistic tips, like, you know, like a Hornaday VMAX style?
No, mine was straight target bullets for that 6.5.
So full metal jacket type stuff?
Yeah, as an open tip.
Okay. Like a hot hollow point mm-hmm. type, but
something that would kind of disintegrate a little bit.
Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because really, I mean, there's not enough mass there that you want it to frag anyway.
No, you're basically just looking for impact.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't care what happens to them.
Right.
I mean, that far, it's like smacking with a baseball bat.
Right. The fattest one's probably 6 inches in diameter. So, yeah, you're just looking for an impact.
You put a hole in it, it's going to die.
What she said.
And then the ones that are dead, if they're not off the hill, the other ones will drag it in. Or if that one's injured enough, it will actually drag itself back in the hole.
Now, if they drag them, are they dragging them in the holes because they eat them? Or are they dragging them in the holes?
I don't think so. I think it's just a... get them off the hill. I don't know.
They're in the way type.
So that's what's so weird.
Or it's predators.
Yeah,
they,
exactly.
They are aware enough that an injured one needs to come in, or when they get injured, they're aware enough to go in. Mm-hmm. But they're too dumb to figure out.
Someone's getting shot at.
Maybe it's raining.
That thing right there is a problem.
But,
you know,
I'm pretty sure we had one that was popping up at like 520, and that bastard would go underneath the corner of a pond and come up at like 475.
No way.
The same fucking thing, yeah. I guarantee you it was. Because we nicknamed him, can't remember what his name was. But yeah, it was the same dog. Like, you could shoot him at the back of the pond, he would go down, and like 5 minutes later, boom, there's one in front. Shoot that one.
So there's
he's going under the damn pond.
Yeah, we kept missing it. He was going, I think, under the pond or around the pond to come to the other one and check it out. And just back and forth.
It's like that game,
whack-a-mole.
He'd pop up wherever he felt like.
Good.
And he got away from us.
never did catch up. Live to fight another day.
But yeah. Shot him with pistols. the farthest one I shot was, I think it was 106 with the .22 pistol.
Oh, that's doing something right there.
Just the red dot on it.
Nice.
How far above
did you have to aim?
I think it was only like 6 inches.
Oh, shit. So basically double aim.
Mm-hmm.
That's impressive. Pretty cool.
It wasn't
cool.
Terribly hard.
I feel a lot
your furthest
lesser
kill was
impression
yeah.
after
800 plus yards.
You just run a really cool
your
story.
Closest kill was?
Closest?
5 feet.
No, I missed one at like probably 10 feet. It was so close that I freaking missed it. The closest one legitimately was probably 50 yards.
Damn, that's.
But we did it. There's prairie dogs, and then there's actually, I can't remember what it was, like a ground squirrel. I had a ground squirrel at the end of my muzzle when we were shooting live firing. You could pull a trigger, and that damn thing was right there.
I bet his ears were ringing even with the suppressor being like, that close.
That was his problem. He had a concussion. That's why.
I don't know where I'm at.
Wandering around.
You're concussed. They're just like curious what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. I guess. I don't know.
It's hilarious. It's like some of them chipmunks up in like Colorado. They get so curious in there.
Yeah.
I got a chipmunk at my house.
That's cool.
Those things are assholes, though.
Yeah. You don't see them that often around here, though.
No, I'm talking about, yeah, sorry. Not, yeah.
Colorado. Colorado yeah,
squirrels that freaking scream at you in Colorado, too.
Yeah, they're dicks.
And throw acorns at you. Or pine cones. What is it? Pine cones, yeah.
I'm going to get a slingshot this year.
That's a good idea. What if that's
legal?
Get your small games tag.
We have one.
I have one, yeah.
I would check on the legalities, but I wouldn't be against you doing that.
So, we were talking about this off the air, because I've always heard that the rattlesnakes, the prairie rattlers, will den in the prairie dog towns.
Mm-hmm.
Will so they said, eat the prairie dogs?
No, well, they're not big enough to eat prairie dogs as far as I know, because the biggest one I saw when we were in South Dakota pheasant hunting was like 3 foot long and maybe the size of a golf ball. But they'll winter in those because they can get deep enough that they stay warm.
Probably about right. Curled up, it was probably, I don't know what it was, probably 8 inches around when it was balled up.
Like the size of a dinner plate?
Mm-hmm.
And then the smaller dinner plate?
Now go back and forth with those to line them up.
Are you sure which dinner plate was which there?
Oh, boy.
But so, yeah, there was. We seen one rattlesnake.
Really?
Which kind of freaked me out because one place we were all in rocks. Like it was just like a rocks.
Perfect spot for him to be.
Yeah, so you're kind of walking around and trying to like not lay on a freaking rattlesnake. But we only seen one.
Were you guys going prone then? Is that how you guys were doing
I shot prone a lot.
Did you?
Some guy shot off of a table, one off of a tripod.
Really?
But off of a bipod, I was money. So
yeah.
Anything 300 was pretty freaking sweet.
Yeah.
Like just as fast as you want to pull triggers, you got something.
Pop them.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
I still throw in by the whole rattlesnake thing. Like
I was wanting to go until I heard that, and I'm out.
Yeah. What's it like? So they go into these cities.
They will burrow in. Like they where they won't burrow.
It makes you wonder. Do they the prairie dogs and them just chill together?
Yeah, they do. They don't. They just
they don't bite
care.
Them?
No, they don't mess
that's,
with each
that's
other.
That's so weird. Yeah.
This is what the pheasant hunting guide was telling us when we were there years ago.
We have no idea how to
Yeah, I don't.
The only
I'm basing that off of what
he
told
me. I think that prairie dog would have to be a baby for something to eat as far as rattlesnake goes.
Yeah.
Because I don't think anything can get in the den of a – I don't think a fox is small enough to get into a hole.
Because, hell, the holes are like that big, aren't they?
Probably like a softball size, I would think.
Yeah, maybe a little bit bigger. I don't
know. I don't know if a prairie dog is a carnivore.
I
think they're more of a herbivore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Beats me.
I don't know.
Well, I'll be honest with you folks. We might do 1,000 shows on this podcast, and this will probably be the only time we talk about prairie dogs.
We don't know shit about shit.
We don't know anything about prairie dogs. Russell probably knows the most out of us, and that's probably not a whole lot more.
Not a whole lot.
Other than I've shot some of the dudes, and they were cool.
Killed 300 of them.
You know, helped out some ranchers.
And it didn't, literally, it did not put a dent.
That's like, what's crazy.
Did not put it
That's
in.
That's awesome.
How many do you think, as a group, you guys killed?
Probably 700.
And didn't
Good
he put it
grief.
In?
How many shooters?
4.
And Russell accounted for almost half.
Yeah.
I got into a spot where it was...
Get a little Western, did it?
It was money, yeah.
Because you were saying you went to, like, how many different towns? Like, 4? 3 or 4?
3.
3 different towns.
And so how far away from you from the next shooter?
As far as you wanted to be. I mean, I was spotting for him, the buddy I went with, and then he was spotting for me. So we were 3 feet from each other.
Just taking turns.
The other guys were kind of like on the opposite side of a pickup shooting their loud-ass guns. But
God, they're so rude.
Peasants.
Yeah, I know.
Peasants.
How dare you shoot a rifle around me unsuppressed.
You really going to shoot that thing?
But they were, like, if they were shooting at a prairie dog, it was 10 rounds. Like, they weren't going to let it go.
Full send.
Yeah, they were hammer down.
They weren't as good as a shot as you.
Huh? No. No, because we were shooting and you're like, okay, you're, you know, 2/10 high or whatever. You need to adjust your wind 2/10 or whatever. Them guys were just
mow down.
Kentucky wind to just shoot the shit.
Left. You're left.
That one guy said, I ain't shot this AR-10 in like 10 years. I go, what? And he goes, yeah, watch this. And he goes out to stretches it out to 800.
just let him see. Did he hit?
He killed one at like, yeah, 800.
Really?
Maybe it took him 50 shots, but he got one done.
That's one expensive prairie dog.
That's me right there.
That's what's crazy. The trip, like, think about the ammo that you shot. That's probably the most expensive part of your damn trip.
Yeah, it is.
Even though some of them were hand loads, but you still had to pay for that.
Oh, really? Hand loads are just as expensive by the time you figure it all out.
And your time.
And your time, yeah.
Russell's gotten pretty damn good at it, but still takes time to do all that.
Yeah. Time is, what is your time worth?
Yeah.
If it's worth anything, it is not worth your time.
That's why I buy factory loads.
Yeah.
Yeah. Buying dollar to dollar and a half is, it hurts, but I didn't have that much time into it. So.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's badass. So all these towns were pretty good size.
Mm-hmm.
And they were miles apart from each other?
Oh, yeah. Well, that one was an hour, and the next one was an hour and a half, so half hour in between those two. The biggest town was probably the one on the rancher with all the rocks. That town was probably 2 miles wide by a mile deep.
Good Lord.
So you could literally just, I mean, it's like
far as you
could driving through a city. Just
sit there all day. Mm-hmm.
Holy
hell.
Yep,
and there's somewhere you're like, I can't shoot in this, you know, 200-acre section because there's a house back there.
Yeah. Mm. You know. Well, that's another question I had. So with all your group there, did you guys all have your own zones? Like,
no, it's free-for-all. Okay. I mean, just don't shoot in this general direction because there's a house over the hill.
I got you.
Or because we push cows, that guy, our outfitter was well enough with the owner where he could push his cows. He pushed his cows up and over the ridge, so it wasn't an issue.
Gotcha.
Well, that's good.
So.
Or then it really would get expensive.
Shoot that black one.
Just bought a beef.
Yeah.
Yeah, shoot that big black one. That sounded like a cow.
That guy could hit that one, I bet.
So would you go back?
Oh, yeah. We're planning on going back.
Are you?
Yeah.
Like every year type of deal?
As long as it allows.
That's cool.
What would you do different if you were going back?
Different?
I already know one thing.
Leave the 308 at home.
308 staying home.
I know two things.
22-250 is going.
Mm-hmm. No, because I would burn a barrel out.
Yeah.
Honestly.
It's about barrels. It's about barrels.
Well, I'm going to run a heavier barrel.
Yeah.
Yeah, they can take more heat, from my understanding, right?
Take more heat.
More accurate.
I don't know that it was more accurate. It's really? Just, they can just take more heat. Yeah. Now, granted, it would take longer to cool down.
So,
but it also take longer to get hot, too.
Right. Yeah. I would shoot a different caliber.
What would you shoot?
What would you take next time?
I would have a 22 Ackley. 22-23
Ackley. Oh, Calder's. Calder just went, huh? Calder's ears just started fluttering.
Ackley.
Perked. Ackley improved.
It's just a tiny bit more than just a 223 Remington, but just a little bit more speed out of it.
So you would take one of those. Mm-hmm. Would you go back with a 223 with a heavier barrel?
Yeah. I wouldn't hesitate on a 223 at all. Mm-hmm. I mean, anywhere from 0 to 500, and you could probably push 550 pretty easy.
How's the wind?
So of a morning, it was fairly calm. Like you could shoot. If you wanted to shoot long range, do it first thing in the morning is what we did. And then once it started, probably about 10 o'clock, that wind was probably 15 to 20. Mm. And then around noon to 3, it was probably running 25.
Oh, so it's kind of getting
it. It's getting it.
Pretty consistent, though.
Yeah. There's not a tree for.
Yeah.
Well, there wasn't a tree.
I don't know how long.
How hard was it to find your windage?
Not that hard. I mean, as long as your scope had measurements in it, you're good to go. Just pull the trigger. You can spot your shots pretty easy out there.
Really?
And then guy with me, he was spotted. He's like, oh, you need to move.
Yeah.
You know, three, whatever.
You could probably take your crosshairs over to your impact point pretty easy.
Because it's, you hit and it's dust.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I didn't think about that. Because around here, you don't get that usually. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you might see a clump of mud.
Yeah.
You hit dirt and you got a puff of dust.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's pretty easy to adjust for your windage and get that dialed in and then stay on that.
And is that how you did everything? Did you dial for adjustment on everything?
Mm-hmm. Instead of holding?
Mm-hmm. You could hold.
Yeah. Well,
if you was set in a range, let's say like 500-yard range, shoot at the feet for the closer ones, shoot at the head for the farther ones.
Yeah.
Anything other than that, then I would dial up.
Yeah. So would you take 3 guns again?
Honestly, I was happy with 2.
So you take a 22 Ackley and a 223 maybe next time?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Probably 6.5 Creedmoor too. So just to push
3 guns.
The limits, yeah.
To send hate a little bit further downrange.
Buddy Justin, he was shooting 308. So
was he?
Mm-hmm. And he had been up there 2 hours away the weekend before shooting an actual class. So he shot a class up there like 2 weeks before that. So he was pretty dialed on. Nice.
So, all right, we know what Russell's taking. Just hypothetically.
300 Win Mag.
two calibers. What are you taking?
Me?
Yeah.
I'd probably take the 223. Most likely that Christensen bolt. Oh, yeah. I don't know. That'd be a perfect one for that.
We're talking about ones we already own or just any gun we want?
I'm going with what I own just because.
What do you own?
And then what else do I own?
Go with what you
think my 6 arc would do good out there?
It'd do perfect.
6 arc.
I mean, yeah, for it, realistic distances. I mean, yeah, sure.
I mean, you could shoot a 6 arc as far as you want to. I mean, they're shooting it at 1,000 yard. So.
I guess I would try that one.
I'd like to try
the 300 Win Mag to see what it would do.
You just got to keep track of your dope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The one thing we failed on was taking an actual like notebook and writing it down.
Yeah.
Because then I would forget, oh, shit, well, it was, 525 or something. I should have wrote it down so I didn't have to guess.
Every time. Yeah.
Because you would waste ammo because you're like, oh, shit, I can't remember
6 arc ammo is expensive.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's for sure. So
taking the dope sheet.
Right.
Because the dope we had here was not the same up there. It was off.
Because the elevation.
What changed? Would it be both like up and, or like would it be windage and elevation, or would it just be one?
It was mostly elevation.
Really?
What elevation were you at up there? Do you know?
Oh, shit.
Probably around that like 6,000 feet mark, I would think.
No, it was like 2,000.
So not a whole lot higher than here.
He's gonna pull.
I don't even know what our elevation is here.
Aren't we like 1,000 feet, 900 feet, somewhere in there?
Sure.
Super high. Super high.
I don't know if I dropped a pin. I did.
I would use my 223.
Okay.
I'd probably take my Grendel, 6.5 Grendel, just because. Mm-hmm. And probably 6.5 Creedmoor.
There you go.
Probably what I would do.
You only got 2. Didn't you hear the question?
Then probably the 223 and the Creedmoor. What would you do?
And based on what Russell said, I mean, I would say definitely my 223. So I like that left-handed one. I've been hunting with it. And then probably that Seiko 243.
I would say that would do pretty good.
Really good out there.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's not pulling.
I'd like to have a 243. I just because the versatility. I think you could take it out there pretty easily.
And yeah, if you were going to build a gun, probably 6 Creed.
I was going to ask you what you thought.
Now he's giving Austin's answer already.
Austin just got.
I'd take my 6 Creed just because it's like an extension of my body at this point.
But, well, it's specifically designed for your 108s or whatever.
Yeah.
Bullet weight is up there for your 6 mils. Not that the 243 can't do it, but it's twist rate and everything's it's designed for that.
Made for
purpose. Because really, if you're until you get into like 15, 20 mile an hour, you don't really have much wind adjustment. At least I've noticed at home shooting, but yeah, when it starts really blowing, then you got to start holding for wind.
And that's why I say the 243 and that 6 Creed are pretty hand-in-hand out to 500, but after that 500, that's when the 6 Creed will start excelling.
Yeah. And the nice thing about out there, it seems like when you have your prevailing wind, it is what the wind is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, here at home a lot, we swirl. Especially like when we're coyote hunting, you're just kind of all over the place sometimes.
The only thing to manipulate the wind is the ground. There's no trees,
there's no trees.
Fence rows or any of that
stuff. It's just great big rolling hills.
Mm-hmm.
So
how long did y'all consistent like, wind. How long would y'all be out there in a day?
We probably got to our hunt spots. It was probably, I don't know, 7:30 maybe or 8, depending on what time we got up. But and then we would hunt till probably 2-3 and then go back and bullshit and
just hang out at the lodge.
Went to the gun stores up there and
checked everything out. Yeah.
Yep.
Where would you take a shit in the morning? Like, there's no tree to go stand behind.
There's nothing.
I'm just curious.
You're going to be squatting in the
squat in the middle.
Find you a dog hole and fill her up.
Yeah. Bit on the ass by a snake.
That's great. Well, that sounds like a fun time, man.
Yeah.
It's interesting. The only thing I wouldn't take is probably something that's like meant for super long range. Like even shooting a 6.5 and 308, you can up there. There's not a lot going on, but you can hear that bullet zing. Even 22s, you'll hear a damn bullet zing for a freaking mile. You know, it's
yeah. Then you have to worry about where's it going to end up after it ricochets off that rock and stuff like that.
The smaller calibers shine pretty well in that aspect.
Yeah. As
long as you're shooting like a varmint bullet where they blow up and you're not sending it 3 miles to the neighbor.
Yeah, you're not sending a full metal jacket or a pointed soft point or something like that.
No, I wouldn't. I'd pick something that pretty well blows up on impact or falls apart.
I never thought we'd be talking about prairie dog hunting as long as we have. Like, it seems very interesting. It seems like, I mean, a really good way to, like, hone your shooting skills, too. Like, we always talk about shooting for coyotes and, you know, think about how small of a target a coyote is.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Then cut that in, what, eighths?
Yeah.
I mean, how much smaller? I mean, a prairie dog might be the size of a coyote's chest, like the front of their chest, right? And that's their entire body.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing, though, at least with that, like, you hit anything, it's probably going to kill it for the most part. Or do you still pretty much have to hit chest or head for them to?
No. I mean, you can hit body. I mean, you hit body, no flap in there, 3 feet.
No. So. Why did you take video of some of this?
Instant gratification on your target.
There is no time for videos.
It's like shooting milk jugs.
Was there any running shots?
No, they were walking shots. Because they would literally, like, they're not just all, like, up in the air on their heels.
Right.
Some of them would literally be out just walking around eating grass. You're like, you guys are dipshits. And that's mostly where I would get doubles at, was in the grass, because they would be walking around and then they would cross and then wait for it and then pull the trigger. Most hills you can't get that because they're lined up in a perfect row looking at you,
right?
So you can't really get doubles off of hills.
Tweedle.
It's almost like you need to have one guy sit that way so they all line up, and then the other guy flanks them.
That would be pretty cool.
That'd be sweet.
Dominoes.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like it's different type of hunting than any of us have really ever done. Because
why I think it'd be fun. It's just different.
You're doing it straight for, you know, control.
And I guess
call it varmint control.
And in my mind, it's not really hunting. Like, I kind of felt like I was eradicating.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, you're like, God damn it, I haven't killed any of them because there's more popping up.
Right? Everything I did was for nothing.
Yeah.
Where's the napalm?
They got to keep hammering them just constantly. And
well, you said they produce twice a year, so mm-hmm. I mean, shit.
I wonder how many – do they call them pups, I'm assuming?
They called it when they pupped. Okay, they pupped twice a year. Yeah. So I wonder how many
they produce, like, each time.
I know if they're like coyotes, if there's enough resources to have bigger litters, or how does
based,
it work?
Based on what the hills were, I would say 3 to 4.
Really?
Huh.
So there's multiple families in a hill, I don't know. But
in a hill, you're talking about a mound of dirt
mm-hmm.
where the hole is. Mm-hmm. You're not talking about a hill.
Right.
Just a mound.
Yeah.
Do they mate for life?
I doubt it.
Just curious.
I bet not. I bet they're
monogamous. Not with Russell around.
I bet there's a lot
of sister wife going on.
They pop their head in a lot of holes.
Nice. Well done. Boy. That might have been the best entendre I've ever heard on this show. But no, that's pretty cool. And like you said, it's not really hunting, I guess, when we consider the way we hunt, even like when we're coyote hunting.
Right.
Obviously deer, elk hunting.
I would consider it to like night hunting for me. Like when I'm hunting my own properties, I'm there to do a job,
right?
Mm-hmm. Versus going to somebody else's. It's
you're there for
having
fun.
But even like night, like when we thermal hunting coyotes, you have to strategically plan how you go in, how you're standing, because they're still like an adversary to you, right?
Like they're going
to
avoid
like
you.
They are trying not to die. They're trying to figure out what's going on, where it seems like a prairie dog, just that dumb shit just stands there until you kill it.
You can literally drive your truck in the middle of the field and shoot wherever you want to.
Right.
And they'll pop up.
That's why I almost, like you were saying, it almost doesn't feel like hunting. It's just more like eradicating because...
Right. Target practice.
Yeah, it's just kind of like target practice, but, you know, necessary, and I'm sure there's a lot of people that do it. And then, obviously, if farmers really start having problems, then they take other actions. But...
Yeah, because I don't... You know, you get... Not many farmers would want a truck full of dudes running up there and just pounding the piss out of their land with bullets. Right, you know, right. So that's why some of those don't get hunted very much, I would assume. And they're off the beaten path. I mean, you're not driving where we went. I mean,
just to
they're off the beaten path. Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
So that's where an outfitter pays.
Right.
Because your public land prairie dogs that you could hunt are hunted every day.
Right.
And that's like when we went up and went pheasant hunting, I brought a rifle to go and we didn't even see any. Like it was just a waste of time. We just were having fun. We were target shooting, stuff like that. And I asked him, he goes, oh, these get hunted all the time. He goes, the minute they hear one round, they're done. But it wasn't anything to the scale of what you're talking about. It was like 150 yards by 200 yards. Mm-hmm. So.
No, this giant was, cities.
It was huge.
And you had to be 250, 300 yards away to even start because if they saw a truck, they were done.
So there is such thing as a pressured prairie dog then.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, just not where we were.
Just not where you were.
They get educated, but apparently it takes a lot.
It takes a couple generations.
I'm sure he's the guide. I'm sure he's probably acquired quite a few places so where he can just bounce. Yeah. You know.
Cool. And that guide's primary business is pheasant hunters.
Really?
So he doesn't advertise as prairie dog hunters. He just has prairie dog access.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Well, he's pheasant hunting, probably runs into all these stuff.
Well, he being there his whole life, he knows everybody. Yeah. So, yeah. And up there, you know your neighbors. It's not like you're...
Right.
Why don't we have prairie dogs here?
I don't know, but I hope we don't.
No,
sounds
agree.
Like they're pretty destructive.
Probably would get rid of them. I mean, I don't think we would tolerate them.
I wonder if it's because like the amount of tillage and stuff we have, maybe. But
it up there, anything that's tilled, no prairie dogs.
Right, that's what I was thinking.
So
because even some of the fields we were hunting, those prairie dogs would go out into the tilled ground to eat beans that were up. Mm-hmm. But as far as tilled, no.
Right.
And that one farmer, he actually took a plow and plowed the living shit out of the ground. No prairie dogs there. Mm-hmm. I think just to keep them from encroaching.
I don't think the runs are really that deep, probably.
I don't know how deep they are. I wouldn't go sticking my hand down in one.
One of them snakes will get you.
Yeah.
Speaking of dogs, see that transition I made?
We're going to get into Austin show.
But we talked about prairie dogs for a full
about
hour.
Prairie dogs. So we're going to
actually
stop here, and then we'll carry on with Austin on the next show.
If not, I'm sure it'll be about a two-hour podcast. We can go on.
For right. You people, we're recording right after, but we're going to do Austin's summer dog stuff on a different show so that we can really get
you
both
quality.
Of these
yeah.
quality.
Instead of trying to rush through one of them.
Because if you've ever talked with Austin, he's a fucking talker.
I can talk forever about race cars and coyotes.
So
that's the most hillbilly thing I've ever heard.
My God.
So what else?
Going fast and left. We went fast and we went left.
And we shot dogs.
And we pulled that trigger.
If only I could combine them.
We went, dog ran in, went bang, bang, bang.
Anything else, Russ?
Not unless you guys got questions.
So sounds like it's fun ass time.
It's fun. Everybody should go do it. Outfitters can be pretty pricey.
Yeah, that was one thing. Do you feel comfortable saying like how much that outfitter costs?
He charged us $400, which is about
for 2 days, or was it $400 a day?
$400 a day. So basically, everything is included.
So it was that one person, or was that
one person?
So $400 each.
So it would be $800 for each person for that weekend.
Okay.
So, but there's people out in Kansas that are $800 a day.
Really?
So. You know, if you're just doing it one day,
that's not bad.
It's quite a bit of money, though. I mean, if you're,
it seems to me like
you're gonna spend $800.
You gotta tip them and stuff. No, I always heard
not
like
us.
You tip people.
I know when we went to South Dakota pheasant hunting, we tipped our guide when we were done.
Yeah, like I always feel weird. Like, well, you just charged me $400 a day. I got to give you another.
Well,
you know, I don't know how that works.
Let me put that in perspective. The business that he operates and the business that he sends up there is probably close to $100,000.
Jesus Christ.
So,
I mean, he's got to pay. It was okay. He's got to pay his trespassing fees and all that stuff too.
Right.
I get
Plus
it.
Plus his time. I mean,
he's just sitting there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense.
By the time you figure fuel in to get up there and back and all that, and you're probably looking at $1,200, $1,400
Yeah, 1,500 tops. Mm-hmm.
That's not. I mean, for
sounds like
a weekend deal and to have that much fun, I mean, that's not terrible.
Yeah,
yeah.
So, I mean, I'd try anything once. You know what I'm saying?
I bet you would.
But yeah, it sounds like a fun time.
Hell yeah,
it's a blast.
It's cool. Cool. Congratulations on the first and probably only Prairie Dog Show. So we all go as a group, and then, hey, guys, buying a prairie dog boat, prairie dog truck, got thermals for prairie dogs.
Okay.
Can you do them at night?
I doubt it. I mean, maybe they do, or I don't know.
That would be fun. Night,
but
that would be cool.
You could
I surely wouldn't. I wouldn't think. If they come out in the sunlight and not under a cloud, I bet they're not out.
Well, dark. So what I did know from going up there pheasant hunting is they said, well, when it starts getting dark, it's over. So maybe they're just done when it gets dark.
Yeah, that's probably true. Because they don't like being out in the dark, I'm guessing. Yeah. But doesn't that sound like us? I mean, we try something, we're like, let's do it.
Don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Don't know how to do it a little bit.
Go bow fish a few times. Let's buy a boat, some lights.
Honestly.
We bought a boat. We bought lights.
I haven't bought the lights yet. I haven't wrote the check.
Yeah, get on it, check writer.
I don't know how much to write it for.
I told you how much.
No, and then you're like, well, he said something like a couple hundred for the bow, so... You got to tell me exactly.
I already know.
Okay, well, let anyway. Me know.
It's only a payment.
Yeah. All right, so let's end this one.
I need
one.
To order my bow.
You can afford anything for 30 days.
Damn right.
Until the invoice comes.
Yeah. All right, well,
let's get off here.
Congratulations, Russell, on being the best prairie dog hunter out of all of us. So,
this is Dundee
Award. Great achievement.
All right, we'll talk to you later, man.
All righty.
Austin, see you.
See you.